And welcome everybody to Halos in the Infield. My name is Fernando, aka the Lone Star Halo, joined here by a familiar face. You know him, you love him. His name is Rob, wearing one of my all-time favorite Angels hats.
Absolutely. It's one of the best.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, we talk all the time about how this team does such a poor job about honoring their history. And I don't think there's a single true Angels fan who would disagree with that. But I think that those jerseys, being the only ones that Artie seems to like from, you know, the vintage collection, those are by far the best.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we embrace from our history is that we were in Los Angeles for a little period of time, so we just renamed the whole team.
Yeah, made it their identity.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
We were here for, was it about 5 years? Because it was 61 through 65, right? And I think 65 is when the Big A opened.
I believe so. I'm not sure. I mean, we weren't alive yet, so it's
might be
hard
more
to say.
Of a Halo Joe question.
Oh, man. Black and white TV.
Yeah. Hey, grandma had to like crank the back of the TV.
Turn the channel. Okay, hold on. Go turn it up.
Yeah, it's funny how that's still a term people use. Hey, can you, you know, can you change the channel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're turn it up when you actually had to get up, walk to the opposite side, walk to the TV, and you know. Hit the button.
We're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Your kid will never have to know what it's like to walk up to the opposite side of the living room when he's comfortable on the couch.
Yeah, absolutely not. He's spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. You know, got the tablet going, the headphones, you know, you don't know what it's like. So yeah, that's how we start off the back in my day portion of the show. But we are here to talk a little bit about spring training and what the point of spring training is. You know, there's some fans who they're like, oh, hey, we've won 3 straight games. Hooray. And I don't think spring training is really something that you can grade based off of wins and losses. Now, there's aspects to wins and losses that are important. You know, like how did the key pieces to your franchise respond? You know, are they the reason you got to win? Or hell, even if you look at some of the minor league guys, like, hey, did they have a come from behind win? Did they lock it down near the end? Whatever the case is, sure, there are things to take away from wins and losses, but we're really going to dive into the nitty gritty of what makes spring training truly important. Because at the end of the day, unless you're trying to win another Cactus League championship like the Angels normally do, it doesn't matter once push comes to shove in the season. And us as Angels fans, we've learned that. For starters, Rob, do you go to spring training often?
I do. We go out there every once in a while. I was there last year. Trying to make it out there again this year, but certain situations happen.
Of course. Life. Does the wife normally go with you, or is this, you know, you and a buddy?
No, wife goes. Come on now. You know that. I can't.
Is she a fan of spring training?
No, yeah, she likes it. She likes the atmosphere and the vibes there where everyone just relax and
that's
no one's really hating on you. It's not like how it is regular season, right? You show up and you get away fans and some are cool, some little trash talk. It's spring training, right? Nothing really matters there. It's kind of guys are just working on stuff. You're just there to have a good time.
Yeah, you know, going to do a spring training complex is kind of like going to like a minor league stadium, right? Like you can go to a minor league ballpark, you know, like right here, about 40 minutes away from me now, I have the AA team for the Texas Rangers, the what are they called? The Rough Riders, the Frisco Rough Riders. And when you go there, like the Angels AA team, the Trash Pandas, aren't in that division. But you can go there, wear Angels gear, and nobody cares. Right? It's a minor league game. You're there to just watch some baseball. It's the same thing with spring training. You see Cubs fans, A's fans, Giants fans. Nobody really cares because, you know, everyone's just kind of there to watch baseball. So that's the one nice thing. I was talking to a former Angel player, we'll say that, and him and I were talking about like how bad Tempe Diablo is. Do you like Tempe Diablo?
Absolutely not. I mean, okay. I was at Giant Stadium last year too, and from the Giant Stadium to Tempe Diablo, it's like night and day. You see like a first class type thing, like when you walk on an airplane, all those people in first class, and you're in the very back, in economy next to the bathrooms. That's where the Tempe Diablos kind of is right there. That's like the atmosphere around the whole thing.
And like the toxic fumes from somebody's nuclear burrito farts are like spreading into that portion of the plane. It isn't even like the smell's contained.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's all every man for himself there.
Yeah, it's just such a run down facility, like for the fans and for the players. Like, isn't it so weird that the visiting team, so they all enter on the side of where the Angels parking lot is. If anyone's been to Tempe Diablo, the right field portion is where all the players park, no matter what team. So you have the visiting team buses. They pull up over there in right field, and the team has to walk across to their dugout, very similar to like a high school field where you have to walk. You know, don't get me wrong. That's pretty normal in a lot of these spring training facilities. But the difference is most other spring training facilities, teams share. So, for instance, Peoria. I don't know if you've gotten to go to Peoria. Beautiful ballpark. And there, because the Seattle Mariners and the Padres share the facility, there's one, I think they call it like Autograph Alley or whatever. The team buses are over there. And then both the Mariners and the Padres facilities over there. So they have to walk all the way in through this alleyway to get in. But the difference is, once again, those are two teams sharing. The Angels have their own facility. They should definitely have a way where the opposing team can park on the left field side, go under the fans, and get to their clubhouse. But they don't. It's just so outdated.
I mean, Artie wouldn't even buy Pujols a treadmill. What makes you think he's going to go ahead and revamp the Tempe Diablo Stadium out of all things?
Well, I mean, they said, like, I think, what, 3 years ago now that they were going to build an actual facility, a workout facility for the Angels team, which I think was also going to be part of, like, a clubhouse revival situation. And they were going to, like, you know, dig under the stadium. I don't know. They've been talking about that for a while. From what I've heard, they started construction, but Jeff Fletcher – sorry, I don't know if I was supposed to say that. We were talking back and forth, and he had said that they started construction like 2 years ago. So we'll see. I hope so for the sake of the players, because it's horrible. Could you imagine being a Major League Baseball player and having to work in an outdoor gym in Arizona?
During a certain time of year there where it does get warm. It's pretty cool out right now over there. It's some nice weather. But
well, in the mornings, yeah. But I mean, Rob, yeah. At 2 p.m.?
I mean, that's just your cardiovascular workout, right? Help you sweat it out, but I couldn't imagine doing it. I mean, it's not like we play in high heat here in SoCal, so I don't understand what the whole point of it is.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess the good news is if you're sweating while you're lifting weights in this outdoor tent – the good news is you'll be shredding all that weight from the Chick-fil-A that the organization told you that you should be eating. Hey, it's fine. CJ Wilson, just go get some Chick-fil-A. That's all you need for breakfast. No nutritional
meals here. It's sad to see. Because you see The Rock when he travels around, he carries his own gym with him and he has it transported everywhere. That facility for one man is so much nicer than what the Angels have to offer for an entire team.
I didn't know that about The Rock. I don't doubt it.
Oh, yeah. No, he was at Iron Paradise. He travels with Iron Paradise. He has machines go with them, certain tent pop-up tents, and they get his stuff there so he can go ahead and work out, especially if he's filming something for a long time.
That's crazy. Yeah, but I mean, I would imagine like his schedule is a little easier to predict with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I mean, he's filming a project. I mean, realistically, we're talking – what, anywhere from like 3 to 6 months, depending on the project. So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
I would imagine it's part of
this Planet Fitness. Yeah. There's a Planet Fitness across the street there for the Angels. So maybe Artie built that and helped them out. Pizza
Mondays. There you go. There you go. Hey, if you build it, they'll come, Rob. If you build it, they will come. So anyway, all of this is just to kind of get the groundwork for today's episode. Now, before we get into that, make sure you give us a 5-star review. Follow us, subscribe, all of that kind of stuff. If it's a social media platform, we're on it. Hell, we're on Blue Sky, people. If you guys are trying to get off of X and you get yourself a Blue Sky code, follow us there. Anyway, let's get into it. So Rob came on, so him and I can talk about what the whole point of spring training is. people get caught up in the wins and losses. So let's address that for a second. The obvious answer is no, but Rob, do wins and losses really matter in spring training?
Absolutely not. They do not matter at all, because at the end of the day, like you said, it's like a 2020 World Series. No one cares, because who cares who wins? It's not a real season. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't get you a first-round pick. You don't even get a trophy for it at the end of the year, unless we're going to start putting flags up, like I said before, to Todd in right field. But other than that, it's just – it's a participation trophy at that point in time.
How cool would it be, though, if they do give you like a little cactus? You know, you get a cute little trophy for Cactus League champ. What would it be for a grapefruit, though? Grapefruit League. I mean, because it's funny. They're called the Grapefruit League, but like all of their logos are just palm trees.
Mm.
Just like straight up normal palm trees. Nothing on them. It's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what they're doing? I just wish they take the Dodgers back. So I'm tired, especially after the season, tired of hearing about Dodgers and in Arizona and all the games being packed so far in spring training, and buy your tickets now if you want. And then you go to a spring training game there. It's like regular season ticket pricing already. It's crazy.
I don't know anybody who's gone to the Dodgers facility yet. I have a couple friends that went over to Peoria to see the Padres play out there, because I have a lot of Padres fans friends. Obviously, we know a ton of people who have gone to Tempe. But, it's going to be really interesting to see how things materialize for Dodger fans this year, because, you know, they're all like, oh, my God, Yamamoto. Oh, my God, Ohtani. Tyler Glass now. But they're also like, oh, my God, these prices.
Mm-hmm. And like we said, spring training doesn't really count. So for them to go nuts over home runs and everything, great. The guy's executing. That's good. But it's a spring training home run in thin air of Arizona desert. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. It's much easier to hit a home run in spring training than it is, you know, any other ballpark in Major League Baseball besides maybe Colorado. You know, the elevation, the like you said, the air. Hey, you know what? Whatever. Let them get excited. It's not going to matter when October rolls around. So anyway, so we all agree wins and losses in spring training simply don't count. So you as a fan, what do you look for in a typical spring training game?
I look for guys in certain situations just to execute a game plan. And what's the game plan going forward? Put a situational thing out there. And for pitcher-wise, if you have a pitcher who's struggling to keep the ball down and everything, I want to see him work that fastball. Or if he's having problems with his breaking ball last year, I want to see him work their breaking ball in more, or kind of mix things up. It's kind of a good time to start trying to throw other pitches, expanding that itself too. And I'm looking for not only that, you can't really see it so much because you don't see them work out. But you used to see them run wind sprints and everything in the outfield from time to time. I like to see that. I like to see them gearing up for the season, getting ready and building that base of pliability and endurance to go ahead and get ready for this long season that we have ahead of us. And for hitter wise, I like to see guys have a plan in mind. Like, hey, I'm not going to chase things. I'm going to work on my zone, my pitch only, and then go from there, right? Or put themselves in a situation that, I know it's an 0 count, but I'll be like, it's a 1-1 count or 0-2 count. Try to hit the ball to the right side. Try to hit the ball to the left side. Try to execute something somewhere.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely correct, right? So obviously, it's always going to depend on the player. But let's just say that there was a guy, you know, Zach Neto, for example. We're just throwing his name out there. Zach Neto was really struggling on 0-2 counts last year, right, to extend the at-bat. You know, fastballs up in the zone. That's what a lot of guys are throwing 0-2. So now a guy like Zach Neto maybe needs to work on choking up, extending the at-bat at least, right? Fouling it off, give yourself another chance, give yourself another life. That's the kind of stuff that you work on in spring training, right? Like, okay, it's an actual 0-0 count, but I'm going to choke up in the bat a little bit and just work on, you know, fouling the ball off. Up in the zone, fouling the ball off. Okay, a guy like Mike Trout was really struggling at fastballs up in the zone last year. Okay, during spring training, all he's going to do is swing at a fastball up in the zone. And that's the kind of thing that spring training's for. Yes, it is about getting at bats. Yes, it's about getting your timing and stuff back. All that stuff's important. But getting your timing back as a hitter comes with the territory of working on a specific thing in an at-bat. And that's truly the kind of thing that you should be looking for in spring training. You know, and there's some
you don't
guys,
see all this.
But
sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Some of these things you don't see in these games too, right? You see there's simulated games on all these other fields. If you've ever gone, you walk around and you see these guys are working. That's why we're talking about these counts. I'm sure if people are like, well, the game, why would you do it? Oh, count, you're playing the game. No, if you're in the game, play the game as a hitter, right? But when you go walk these other fields, you watch them do these simulated things, simulated games, that's where they need to start working on this stuff that we're talking about. Pitching-wise, you can work on that in the actual spring training game that you see on TV. Yep. But everything else, you want to see these guys working outside of that in those simulated games, in those other fields, because just because they're not playing on that on TV that day doesn't mean they're not working in spring training, where you can kind of roam around and see them, but you have to leave the main facility and go to the other facilities around.
And that's the interesting thing about minor league games during spring training, because they can do whatever the hell they want. And, like, I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, hey, Rob is going out there and he's throwing 35 pitches. You know, he walks the first two guys, you know, gives up a double. Now he's, like, at 20 pitches. And they're like, well, he needs to go, like, 35 pitches. He's got 15 left. All right, we're switching innings. Like, that kind of stuff happens, and it's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, time, you know, we're in the middle of a situation here. We're in the middle of a count. It's a live at bat. Who cares? You know, hey, Rob's done. We're switching. And they'll switch. And that's the kind of thing that, yes, that I'm talking about. And that's like the fun, quirky part of spring training. And personally, I've always loved that aspect of spring training more than I've liked the games. Honestly, as a true baseball fan, I love baseball through and through. I love baseball so much. I've been talking about it for 3 years. For whatever reason, people listen. My point is, spring training games, like the real spring training games, kind of boring. I love minor league games because I love watching the young guys who want to be there. You know, sometimes the major leaguers, they get a little prima donna. I don't think that's much of a hot take. But all these minor league guys want to get to the show. So I love going to minor league games. But sometimes, I don't know why, spring training can be a little dull.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. It's once you hit those later innings, or even now, like the fourth, fifth inning, you start seeing the guys switch out and everything, kind of start seeing guys step back a little bit more, letting the young guys come in and take it, which is cool, don't get me wrong, but it becomes very dull because these guys, I don't know how to use a better phrase, but they're so tight and they're so afraid of making a mistake. They want to execute so bad. Granted, you get guys who do show up as rookies and everything. They're on TV. It's cool. But these other guys are so nervous. You can tell these guys are nervous because it's their shot right here. They want to make the roster to the 25-man roster later on. They're trying to find their way in, and they don't want to be sent down to the minor league camp, which we just had a cut, yesterday, I believe? People were sent down to minor league camp. So they're trying to avoid that round by round. And it gets a little bit dull because you see them be a little bit too fine on everything, and you see an 0-2 count go to 3-2 counts all the time. It slows the game down, right? The pace is just not there anymore.
I'll definitely say that spring training games have gotten a little bit better since, you know, they sped things up at the clock. Because, I mean, a couple of years ago, there were some spring training games that would literally go for like 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that I remember. Back and forth. Yeah, I remember going to a game in like 2018, and I swear it was like 4.5 hours. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, because guys are trying to take extra bags. They're trying to show they can do something on that team, right? So their leads are huge. And, yeah, back picks going on, pitchers stepping off the mound. It did take forever. It was kind of to the point where you can kind of go the first 3 innings, and tickets are cheap enough then to, okay, I'll go 3 innings here. I'll get up and go, catch the other game here, get up and go. And you're able to bounce around a lot more.
Yeah, and I do like that. Like, my favorite part about spring training, watching the guys do drills in the backfields, you know, watching the young guys hit in the backfield. Like, that's the kind of spring training I like. You know, I like watching the pitchers and, like, the bullpen mm-hmm. sessions. That kind of stuff's fun, right? Because it's different. Or it's really awesome if you get to Tempe Diablo, like, early and the team has an away game and you get to see, like, the studs, you know. I remember watching Yunel Escobar and Andrelton Simmons with Pujols and, gosh, who was the second baseman back then? Danny Espinosa? Probably in, like, 2017.
Yeah. He's there for a short time for this.
Yeah, he was there for, like, what, the first month of the season? So, yeah, it's fun going there and watching those guys. I mean, you know, say what you want about Albert Pujols, but I was sitting in first base at the first base side, like row two. That's Albert freaking Pujols, like 10 feet away from you. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's crazy. You know, I watched Mike Trout take batting practice, and because the stadium's so small and intimate, like, it's cool. Like, mm-hmm. when are you ever really able to be that close to the players? I mean, that's the really, really cool part about spring training. You know, as an Arizona Coyotes fan, like, I get teased all the time. Like, oh, well, you guys don't even have a real arena. But everyone who goes to the Mold Arena in Tempe loves how small and intimate it is because, I mean, you know, you have the best players in the world in this small facility. And, you know, when you go to Angel Stadium to catch a game, yeah, you're in a major league ballpark, and that's awesome. But there's nothing like being in spring training where the players are a little more personable. Like, I remember Simmons making a play, and, you know, Escobar went, ba-da-da, da-da-da, like, and it's so close. You can hear them just be dudes.
Yeah. Actually being real human beings like us. I mean, they are, granted, right? But they're just one of us, right? They want to have a good time while they're playing. They joke around just like we do.
Exactly.
Everyone wants them to be serious and win games. But it's like, hey, it's not always about that, right? Baseball, you got to be loose. It's a long season.
Of course. And that's not to say that they don't do that kind of stuff at Angel Stadium. But what I'm saying is, you know, even if you're sitting in the, God, what is that? The Don Julio Club? Or what's the one right by at home plate? The Lexus Club?
It's Lexus Club, yeah.
You still probably can't hear the guys having fun on the field because, you know, it's a loud stadium. You're still, like, what, 50 feet away, even if you're, like, in the first seat at the Lexus Club. You know, it's still a bigger atmosphere. It's loud. You can't hear the players be players.
Mm-hmm. And the background noise, too. You have the organist going at some stadiums where you have the guy playing the music, DJ and everything. So I was in Tampa right there, too. And I was in the first row, and it was Brad Ausmus as the manager. I can faintly hear him say a few things here and there, and that was about it. The background noise. And Tampa is not a very big stadium overall with crowd-wise.
And it's a dome, so you would think the noise would travel well, you would assume. But, I mean, it's also a hollow building that doesn't have a lot of fans. So,
yeah.
You know, but in spring training, it gets very quiet at times, right? So you can hear the chatter between the players, or you can hear the catcher talking to the pitcher. Heck, even if you're watching on TV sometimes, and it's like a Tuesday afternoon, and I would say, like, the stadium's like half full because, you know, Tuesday afternoon, so a lot of people are working. So these facilities are a little less packed. Yeah, even on absolutely. TV, you can listen to the chatter because, you know, there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah, you can hear the fans a little bit more and everything that's going on around it. So it's actually pretty – it's very cool atmosphere overall.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned off-air a guy like Justin Anderson, and I want to bring him up just because, you know, he's obviously going to be a key piece to the rotation as a veteran. So you had mentioned that his mistake, or at least what you haven't liked from him, not his mistake, has been when has pitched, you know, his outing so far, he pitched, it looked like he was pitching to win.
Mm-hmm.
So for a pitcher like him, who obviously struggled last year, that's not a hot take, that's not controversial. Everybody would agree, Justin Anderson wasn't the guy that we expect him to be last year. What should a guy like him, who is a veteran, work on, in your opinion, you know, during a spring training game?
Tyler Anderson, right?
Yeah, I said Justin Anderson. Jerry, Justin Anderson is no longer a pitcher for the Angels. I'm sure you guys might have remembered him. He was, you know, rookie, was throwing like 100 miles an hour. My apologies. Yes, Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, with Tyler Anderson, I mean, I just like to see him keep the fastball down and work on a pitch, get him out type pitch, right? Because every time he'd go 1-2 count, 2-2 counts, or even 0-2, he would always run it to 3-2 and then leave a pitch high up over the middle. I like to see him work down and work on his breaking pitches like how he did with the Dodgers. He had the out pitch there. He had something that was close to the zone. But with the Angels, I don't know if he was tipping his pitches or what, but he could not get a guy to chase. He had zero chase type stuff majority of the year. Granted, there were some games where he did have it. It's like, okay, he's back. It's like Tyler Anderson of old for the Dodgers last year. Then I think about it too. That's one guy. And I watched this last spring training game, not the start, not this recent one, but the one before, where he was kind of pitching to win. And it's like he wasn't working on anything. He's leaving the fastball up still. His breaking ball was pretty much flat at times, or it'd be so far in the dirt that he couldn't get a chase. I mean, I don't know if he was trying to work on it, but he wasn't executing very well the situation at hand. But then he got upset when an error was made at the shortstop. It's spring training. I understand it's going to frustrate you a little bit, but who cares? How often does Zach Neto make an error? It's very, very rare. Get it. It's spring training for him too, right? He's still working on things too. Let it go. You should be mad at yourself that you really execute a pitch, I think, overall, because I was watching while I called for the ball outside. He threw it middle in and everything. The ball got hit. So I was looking at the defense was set up for the outside type pitch. And the ball comes middle in and hits it to the right side of the, or left side of the field, excuse me. And they're expecting it to the right side of the field. You didn't execute. Focus on you not executing your pitches. Don't focus on the result of what happened because you missed. Granted, I get it. These guys can't be perfect all the time, but I want you to work on something. I don't care about the wins and losses. I don't care that we're currently 7-3 in spring training. I want you to be good for the season.
Yeah, and I don't think that Anderson is the only pitcher who needs to work on an out pitch. Reed Detmers, he's another guy. I think his whole issue as a major leaguer has been walks and consistently being able to put guys away. It seems like sometimes he has that pitch and sometimes he doesn't. So if there's one thing that I want Detmers to work on is finding what that out pitch is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a strikeout pitch, but maybe a pitch that forces a ball on the ground and trust your defense behind you.
Yeah, you just want to see these guys compete, right?
Absolutely.
And do things and help out. Just even Estevez, I want to see something out of him. I'm tired of seeing him leave fastballs up. I said it last year. I know people didn't agree. I thought he left the ball up way too much. And in spring training, I go, this guy's not going to be our closer. He's not going to be good for us. He goes and makes the All-Star game. And then, even then, in that time frame, I was still hating on him. And I'll admit it. I was a hater on Estevez. I still kind of am about this. He leaped that ball up so much. He didn't get burned the first half of the season, but everyone else made the adjustment. Teams that faced him. Second half of the season, the guy couldn't save anything, right? He couldn't save you from falling into a puddle. No, it was ridiculous at that point in time. It was like, yep. And he's doing it again. Honestly, I don't think this guy's our closer. I'm watching him now. He's not working on stuff. That fastball's still up. He's not working on that breaking ball pitch away and everything. But you see as a guy like Jose Suarez, who I hated last year too. I thought something was off with him. He's working. I like what he's doing so far. I like what I'm seeing. He's situationally competing every pitch and all that stuff. Doesn't really care if he gives up the hit. Gave up one hit today. Didn't really faze him. Went back at it. Started working on what he was doing. Whereas last year, that would kind of destroy him, right? He started having a little mini meltdown going on. So you just want to see guys just kind of compete with that.
I've always thought that Jose Suarez was really good when he had his flow going. You know, because his issue was always he took way too much time between pitches. And then the pitch clock got implemented, and he really wasn't able to adapt to it. But when he has a flow going, he's really not that bad. And I like Jose Suarez because I like his swagger. I like his confidence. You need to have that as a major league baseball player. Not to the point of cockiness, but there's nothing wrong with going up there and knowing, hey, you know what? I'm a major leaguer. There's a reason why I'm here. And with that, you need to trust your stuff. You know, as a pitcher, you can't be afraid to throw your best pitch. And if you get lit up, you know what? If my best pitch is a curveball down on the zone, right at the kneecap of a righty, hoping that they're going to, you know, overswing or they're going to expect a fastball, and sometimes you get burned, I can live with that. I made my best pitch. I got beat. And you know what? These are major league hitters. That's kind of happened. What I hate is the guys who are, they don't have an out pitch. They're afraid. They're not confident. And they get burned by the, you know, walking too many guys, by the gopher ball, because they walk two guys, you know, a lazy blooper because you walked the first two guys. And now you were just trying to, you know, get ahead curveball. That's what I don't like. And I really want some of these young guys to just start attacking batters. You know what? This is a year where there truly is no expectations. There really isn't. So we need guys like Detmers and Sandoval and Suarez and Silseth to figure it out. Canning, the same thing. And Canning's actually had a great spring so far. Go out there, challenge guys. You know what? You're going to get burned. And I don't mind if we lose every single game the first month of the season. As long as I see some progression from the young guys and the young core, and I can truly go to sleep every night after the game and say, you know what? Ohapi had some good at-bats. Neto made some really good defensive plays. Canning, Suarez, whoever pitched, went out there and really competed. They went toe-to-toe with Gerrit Cole. And you know what? They just got out-dueled. Because that's the kind of stuff that happens to rookies. You know, how is Shanuel going to respond this year to his sophomore slump? Because it's going to happen. Of course it is.
I mean, I hope it doesn't. This guy has kind of like a Tony Gwynn-esque. I hate to give him such high praise so early and everything, but he has kind of like a Tony Gwynn-esque type personality to him, work ethic-wise, hitting, and I like that about him. And I wasn't big on taking him overall at first, and I'll eat crow on that one. I was hoping to get a pitcher and everything to help us out immediately, which I thought we needed at the time. And then we could have – I was all for Cody Bellinger free agency and all the other guys. But he's proved me wrong, right? He was the guy to go with. And Washington said, hey, he's our first baseman. But you said a lot of the key things. The one key thing you said that I like too is you don't have an out pitch. Challenge the guy. Put the fastball up and on the hands. Work on spotting that ball more on underneath the hands or away or high. Find their weakness somewhere, because as every major league hitter is great, they all have the weaknesses. Even Mike Trout, during those MVP type years that he had, or during those MVP years, he always struggled with that high fastball. And he still, to this day, struggles with that. I'd like to see Trout shorten his swing up a little bit too. People are going to say I'm crazy, but I don't know if you've been watching his at-bats a little bit. It looks very long. His hands, they get through the ball. He's late. And then I'm watching these young guys. I watched Mickey Moniak. He was right on time, or he made the adjustment. He was quick through the zone, where I think Trout still has his hands too high and doesn't get his hands back fast enough. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, who am I? Again, I'm here, right?
No, you're right. Yeah, and I'm piggybacking off that. You know, we saw it a lot last year, striking out at a lot of fastballs up in the zone. And there's a lot of Angel fans who are like, hey, this is Mike Trout. I'm not worried. But this is Mike Trout. I am worried, because it's not just spring training. We saw it last year. I'm not hitting the panic alarm. Mike Trout is a major league hitter, let alone one of the best hitters we've seen in our lifetime. But he needs to adjust, because this isn't a spring training issue. This is a last couple months issue.
Yeah, and I'm surprised no hitting coach has really gone after him so much and said, like, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what causes your hands to be delayed. This is why you're not getting to the zone, because it looks like he's lost a step a little bit on that swing, where he was younger, a little quicker to react to that ball. But now it looks just a little bit late. And watching these spring training games now, he's getting burned by those fastballs up. And I think, me personally, if I was a pitcher, which I did pitch before in college and everything, if I saw a guy like Trout, his hands are up here and he's struggling to get back, I'm going to keep throwing the fastball up and in. So I'm seeing he's struggling to get his hands through the zone. So if I keep throwing that fastball up and in, or the fastball up and away, he's going to struggle to get to that pitch because his hands are too slow through the plate. That's my personal belief. I think they need to shorten his swing up or have him start a little bit further back. That's just what I think overall. But you're right. It has been an ongoing problem with them in the season. They've yet to make the adjustment. But someone needs to go and tell Trout, like, hey, you're doing this wrong. Because like everyone said in the other podcast, Brandon Marsh goes to Philadelphia. That hitting coach tells him, you want to know what you're doing wrong? Everything. Yeah. So if you can fix Brandon Marsh's swing, which I don't think was a bad swing to begin with, and everything, make him a 300 hitter, imagine what a coach like that could do to Trout.
Let me ask you this about Mike Trout. So I totally agree with you on the fact that he's late. Maybe it's his timing. Maybe it's just the fact that his hands aren't quick enough anymore. And that kind of stuff happens. It's up to him to make the adjustment. So with that being said, do you think it's time for him to work on perhaps shortening his leg kick or maybe getting rid of it at all? So I don't know if you remember Shohei Ohtani, when he came over from Japan, had that super aggressive leg kick, very much like Zach Neto. But Zach Neto's leg kick hasn't been much of an issue like a lot of people thought it would be. So I'll give the kid credit. Ohtani during spring training had that super long leg kick, and I don't think anybody forgot. Was horrible during spring training his rookie year, 2018, absolute dog water. You and I could have done better during spring training offensively than Ohtani did. But magically, literally magically, between the freeway series and opening day in Oakland, he went from the leg kick to the toe tap and immediately got better. Do you think a guy like Trout might need to work on bringing the hands down a little bit and perhaps exploring a toe tap instead of
the leg kick? Yeah, that could help him out. I do agree with you on that, that it's almost like a Pujols-esque thing. What are Pujols doing in the successful years? He picked his foot up and down. It was no leg kick. It was just slight heel up, slight heel down. With it generate the power. The leg kick, yeah, could be the issue too. Getting the hands back. I think his hands are too high.
Yeah, he always has his hands up here. It's very old.
And he is. Where Tony Gwynn used to have his Tony Gwynn used to have his hands up here as well too. Right, but Tony Gwynn would try to go back with his hands.
I actually have like a Tony Gwynn figurine like right here, and look very clearly, you can see the bat exactly where he would swing it. He'd have the bat up and in front. So literally, he would just slap the ball to the 5.5. Mm-hmm. That was what he was notorious for.
Whereas Trout, you're not seeing that anymore from him. You're seeing him get stuck at this point. At this point up here, right? You're seeing him get stuck here, where Tony Gwynn would be here. He'd be quick back. And if you watch a lot of these situations, even in Ohtani, he does it one of the best. He gets to this position before he swings, so quick, which helps him at that point. Once they're here and they go, they open up their hips. I mean, Tony Gwynn's hitting coach will tell you about that, what his swing was like. And the guy still goes around today. I believe this guy's in his late 80s. And he'll go around and talk about it. The whole point of a hitter is to not get your hands – is not to take the step back. It's to get your hands back as quick as possible to turn and go ahead and hit. And this guy preaches on that. And I watch those videos all the time. And I wish Trout would kind of – or someone would take Trout and say, hey, do this, please. Because he's – I don't know if he's working at it or not, but that's what's something I would love to see him work at, is getting those hands back quicker to be able to slap the ball around all fields. And you're Mike Trout. You're fast. You have speed. I don't need 30, 40 home runs from you every year. I need you on base batting 300. That'd be the best thing for these Angels overall. It's a 260 hitter hitting 30 home runs or the 300 hitter hitting 20 home runs. I take the 300 hitter overall.
Absolutely. You're in a new era of your career, right? I mean, Trout is slowly starting to exit his prime. What, he's 32 years old now?
Yeah, he is.
So, you know, slowly starting to exit your prime. Sure, you're not at the twilight of your career, but, you know, 32 to 35 is kind of the last, you know, the last good years, I would say, that most players have left. Once you start hitting 35, 36, that's when you start getting to the tail end, the twilight of your career. And that's really when you're probably not an everyday guy anymore. That's when we're talking about Trout being strictly a DH. So with that being said, there's nothing wrong with changing your approach. But hey, you know what? I'm not your coach, and neither is Rob. But Rob does have some very, very good advice. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Trout can do. But I will tell you, honestly, I am a little concerned. We're not hitting the panic alarms. This is spring training. But I want to see Trout. And a lot of these younger guys make the adjustments all spring long. But I have been very encouraged so far what I've seen by Zach Neto. I'm glad we're seeing a little bit more power from him. Just because that's kind of one thing I wanted him to work on during the offseason, right? We know that he has the ability to be a pure hitter. Yes, we want him to extend at bats. But you know, if we can get 15 home runs out of Zach Neto, see him in the 270 ballpark, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Thank you.
Neto-wise, I don't need to see that many home runs. I just need you on base, man, and play great defense. 270 hitter is great. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be – I'm going to predict a 280 hitter this year, because I like what he's doing. He's working hard. He has a great approach to the plate. You see a guy like Moniak as well, too. Moniak struggled last year at a certain point in time, getting the same thing, fastballs. He struggled big time with breaking balls. And this year, so far, he's hit a breaking ball for a home run, last game or 2 games ago?
Yep.
2 days ago, he hit a breaking ball. You can tell he's working on stuff. And that gets me excited. Trout-wise, hitting the panic button, I hate to be that guy. I'm going to hit the panic button right now.
Ooh, I don't see anyone making an adjustment. Rob's hitting the panic button.
I am, because I don't want him to come out and have that slump. Oh, it's a slow start, like how we used to say with Pujols. Oh, it'll be a slow start. He'll get there. He'll get there. He would eventually get there, but so late into the season, it's like, come on, we needed this early. And you lost all these the first quarter of the season. You lose. But I like to see him work a little bit more on stuff. I know Trout is always working. He's always grinding. Don't get me wrong. I know if people are going to say, well, he does work on stuff. Yes, but there's certain stuff at the Angels coaching staff, which I hope this new staff does address, because it hasn't been addressed in the past. They do go after it because there's guys older than Trout who are playing better in their prime age. I don't think Trout's out of his prime age. I think the Angels have done a huge disservice to this guy by not allowing him to have a plan to help him work during spring training, because yes, he's a pro. Yes, he's one of the best players that ever played the game. However, every great player still had a coach or a manager to help them along the way, to tell them what they need to work on and focus on and provide some type of insight. Because don't make me say it, but I hate to say it, was Socia the key? Trout was pretty damn good with him. So was he the one holding accountability-wise? Hey, do this, do that. Pujols was there as well with him. Torrey Hunter was there as well with him. He had veteran leadership to help him out. Do we need something like that here? Does Trout want that, need that? Let us know. Like, I mean, the Angels organization needs to do something, because not only has this offseason been a dud, but you see certain guys, these young guys, working and grinding in spring training, but then everyone else you kind of see floating. It's like the last couple of years that we've seen. It's kind of like, well, who's going to hold these guys accountable?
Well, very, very good points. I have some high hopes for this coaching staff. It's going to be really interesting to see what they can get out of these young guys. We've already said it multiple times. We're going to continue to say it. This is a year with no expectations going in. But with that being said, the expectation is for these young guys who are part of this young core to take a step forward. Can the coaching staff get them there? Because something tells me the bulk of this coaching staff won't be around for potentially a playoff run in a couple of years, right? I mean, Ron Washington, correct, in theory, is only here for one more year after this year. In theory, maybe he gets retained, maybe he doesn't, but it was a two-year contract. And most of the time, when those contracts are over, you get a new manager in, you get a new regime change. We don't even know if Perry's still going to be at the helm, which means maybe next year when Perry's contract's up, he's going to be like, Ron Washington, you're old and out of touch. Deuces. And all of a sudden, we're going to have another culture change, which this organization just keeps going through. But with all that being said, right now, Ron Washington and his guys are at the helm. I like what I've seen so far. I love what I've heard from Ron Washington. And I'm really excited to see what he can get out of these young guys this year. Still a lot of spring training left to come. And Rob, it is always great to have you on. Of course, I'm sure we're going to see you on maybe later this week. So, Rob, anything you have in closing?
No, thanks for having me on. And hopefully everyone tunes in to Halos in the Infield. There's some great stuff happening here and exciting year going on here, because I don't know if we're going to see it on the field, but you guys will see it here on this page.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better myself. On behalf of all of us here at Halos in the Infield, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for the support. And we will see you guys back here next time. Bye, everybody.